This thing is rather movie. If I get seasick when I'm preaching, you'll know why. Great to see you all this afternoon. Great to hear your lovely voices singing. And I'm always very honored to be able to hold forth the Word of God in this place. As you can see the title today, Faithful in a Foreign Framework. Now, a distinguishing mark of IBC is our international character. What does the name stand for, IBC? Okay, you've noticed. International Baptist Church, right? And I think we have, at any given time, more or less 50 nationalities. Okay? How many here are from another country that's not Germany? Raise your hand. Originally, anyway. Okay? A couple, yeah. Very good. Okay, so we are international. And so many of us know what it means to live in a foreign context then, right? A foreign framework. It isn't always easy. Most of us here have learned German, different degrees of expertise. But you know, one of the things that always impresses me, adapting to a foreign framework in this country, is the matter of way of counting. I'm pretty fluent in German, but counting is always a problem. Ever had that happen to you? You call on the phone, right? It's a behörde, you know, it's the government, and they have to tell you something really important, and call this number, you know. And they say, Sechs und zwanzig, right? So then and I try to go backwards. And I always get it wrong. And so I have this thing about German numbers. Anybody understand me here? Oh, amen. I feel at home. Thank you. I love you people. I love you. Anyway, there are challenges in being in a foreign framework. Of course, some of you have no problem with this because you grew up in Germany. But whether you grew up here or you are German or you come from another country, an important theme in Scripture is that ultimately we're all foreigners. We all live in a foreign framework. Notice this verse here. Temporary calls us all believers, Peter does, temporary residents and foreigners. We're just passing through, right? Look at the next verse here. Just a phrase. It says, Philippians says that we are citizens of heaven. So really, we are foreigners here. This is not our real home. Now, of course, as I said, living in a foreign context has its challenges, but also spiritually, because we notice so often that we don't quite fit in, right? In fact, you should notice that you don't quite fit in. For example, Peter says that people should actually say strange things about you when they look at you as a Christian because you are acting in a way that doesn't really go along with the way the world thinks and acts. And it's easy for us to be intimidated by the world around us. There are different values, different priorities. And what God wants us to do is to remain faithful, to be people of integrity, Christians of integrity, who hold forth God's values and God's purposes, regardless of the influences that are all around us. In fact, what we're supposed to do is this famous verse here. It says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. In other words, it's very obvious that you belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore they praise your Father in heaven. This is what God wants you and wants me to be doing in this world. Now, it's not easy, right? Again, there's challenges in a foreign framework, whether it's physically or if it's spiritual, it's also a challenge. But how do we do this? How do we hold forth in this way? How do we remain faithful in light of the difficulties of living in a difficult environment? Well, we're going to go to our passage today, which is Jeremiah chapter 29. How many have read Jeremiah this year? Don't know. I don't have to ask. How many have ever read? No, that's okay. Now, in Jeremiah, it's very interesting because the background of this book is that the people in Judah, Jerusalem, had been conquered by Babylonia, or the Babylonians, Babylonians. And they had been totally, the city had been destroyed. They'd been treated terrible. It was cruel. It was horrible. And they had been, a great part of them, been taken captive back to Babylon. So there they are in Babylon, and Jeremiah, who is in Jerusalem, you know, a long way away, close to 2,000 kilometers away, he writes them a letter and tells them how they should act in a foreign framework. And we can learn so much from this, from what Jeremiah says, that we can adapt to our lives here so that we can also be faithful in a foreign framework. Do you want to be faithful in a foreign framework? Say amen. Amen. Ah, okay, otherwise I was going to sit down. Okay, very good. Okay, so the question we're going to ask today, the logical question, is simply, how can we keep faithful in a foreign framework or a foreign context? I'm going to give you three simple answers, and we're going to get them all from Jeremiah, all right? First of all, keep in step with God. Or said maybe said more simply, walk with God, okay? Walk with God. Let's look at verse 4 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah writing, okay, to the exiles in Babylon from Jerusalem. He says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So, they knew it was because of their unfaithfulness to Jehovah God that he had exiled them. But that didn't mean that he had forgotten them or abandoned them. They were still his people. His promises were still valid. He had not canceled them out. In fact, look at this next verse here. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Okay, here are these exiles, right? Things look so negative. But God says through Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Give you hope and a future, right? Okay. So, God knows what's happening with his rebellious people. In fact, it gets even better. In another verse, it says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed. Now, he even gives them the time framework within which they will be brought back to Jerusalem. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Folks, there's hope, he's saying. Just trust. Be faithful. That's what they're supposed to do in the meantime. In the meantime, they're supposed to walk with God, to be faithful with their God, to cultivate a close relationship with him. Look what it says here in verse 12. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In other words, it doesn't matter how rebellious you were. It doesn't matter that you are actually being punished for being so rebellious. Come to me, cry out to me. I will hear. I will answer. God is gracious, people. Doesn't matter what you've done. God is gracious when you come repented to him. And that's the word of hope that we have here. Geography or circumstances do not affect one's walk with God. We just need to keep in step with God as long as we don't see things clearly, right? And again, we are temporary residents and foreigners in this country, in this world, actually. And so I would take two truths from what we just saw that are important for you and for me. The first one would be, God hasn't forgotten us. Sometimes we think that, things are so difficult that God is kind of, forgotten us. Actually, you can think about yourself and you think, who am I that God should remember me or look at me? Ever thought that way? They say in German, meine Wenigkeit, right? My little bittleness, whatever, right? but God doesn't forget us. He's on our side. He also says to us, "I know the plans I have for you." And if God has plans for us, that means we're in his mind. He hasn't forgotten us. He's thinking about us, and there's hope. And that's what we can be sure of as we wait to see God act, as we live in a foreign framework. Another thing we learn from this situation with Israel is that we need to keep in step with God and make that our priority. In other words, you don't walk in step with God casually. Oh, I'm walking with God. Oh, nice. It doesn't work that way. It must be your priority. Just like with my wife. Oh, I'm married. Oh, or I'm in love with my wife. Oh, wow. Wow, amazing. No, we work at it, folks. We've been married many, many, many years, right? Both of us, right? Many years. And it's a matter of cultivating. It's giving that relationship a priority. And it's the same thing with God. We need to walk with God. Now, it could be that, you know, well, this happens often. You come from another country. Maybe in your own country of origin, you were used to going to church. It was just part of your culture. It was expected of you, right? Letting a Sunday go by without going to church was just not it. It was not allowed, say. You come here, and there's a lot more freedom for you, and it's easy to start getting, you know, less firm. And you can easily begin to neglect your walk with the Lord. Remember a couple one day that came to our church a long time ago, and they said, oh, we're going to be here a couple of years, but we're hardly going to be here because we're going to be traveling in these 2 years. Well, it's not wrong to travel, okay? But the impression I got is that they were also on a spiritual holiday. Truce, God, you know? And that's what you can never do, all right? Because the world is there. The world has its values and its pressure and all these things. And you cannot take a spiritual holiday. And that's what God is telling Israel and what he's telling you. There are no spiritual holidays. No matter what you do, you need to walk with God. Keep in step with God. And so this is a tremendously important point that God wants you and wants me to understand. He hasn't forgotten us. And he wants us to make our priority walking with him. I remember hearing that my mother, that I grew up in Mexico City, and my parents were missionaries there. I went there when I was 1 year old. Had a little bitty suitcase I had to carry there. And my mother, she had never lived outside of the U.S., and so she didn't like it. She was alone. You know, Mama was far away and very far away and everything. And she wasn't so much into the ministry. She had 3 little boys at that time. And she felt so lonely. And in fact, she says that the first Christmas there in Mexico City, she shut herself in the bathroom and she cried. Yeah, it was rough. But with time, she began to understand that she needed to be, and she needed to be faithful to God, walk with God, accept what he wanted, and she began to grow. And in the end, she was there 34 years, and she was a happy woman because she walked with God. She knew that God hadn't forgotten her, okay? And she had 7 kids. Not that it has anything to do with it, but she had 7 kids. Anyway, just for your information. I'm very informative, right? Yeah, good. And I just had another grandkid. I mean, not another one since last week, another one, the one I mentioned last week, right? I have one a week. No, anyway. But the point is that, right? We are to walk with God, doesn't matter what the circumstances are, okay? So keep in step with God, amen. All right, there's a second lesson. If you want to be faithful in a foreign framework, keep in step with God. Look at your elbows, the person on each side of your elbow, right? Keep in step with, don't do this, just look at them, right? Yeah. Reminds me of sometimes many times in my life I've given marriage seminars, and boy, I notice sometimes during the seminar, or you know, none of that stuff today, okay? So, keep in step with fellow believers. Keep close to your fellow aliens, your fellow foreigners. Cultivate a relationship with a spiritually like-minded community. And that's what God wanted for Israel as well. Now, we know that God's will for the Jewish captives in Babylon was that they cultivate that deep community, faith community. He didn't want that bond that they had that was his will to be weakened in any way. Look at the verse here. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number, do not decrease. They were to settle down and actually cultivate their common life, all right? And their common life revolved around the covenant. They were people of the covenant. And everything they did was to remind him of this. They were a people. They were not intermarrying. No, they were not. They were marrying, but within the nation, right? Not with other nations around them. But they were to continue being faithful and to cultivate that connection. They were to remain spiritually strong. That was God's great desire for them while they were there in Babylon, in an environment that was totally opposite to what they believed, totally anti their faith, okay? And that's why they needed to be together. They needed to have that strong unity, one with the other, if they were going to remain strong. And so, in this way, by remaining strong, by cultivating that spiritual bond, by being people of a covenant, they would enjoy the welfare of both individual as well as a people. And I think this is also applicable for us, for sure, right? On the one hand, now this is important. On the one hand, you often have this sense in maybe Germany and IBC that you're just passing through. So why should I worry about those people on the edges of my elbow, right? Why should I care? And you talk, and those people are also thinking, well, I'm just passing through, so why should I care? So before you know it, people just come here and hi, and they're gone, right? But I would say it's so important to realize that God wants you, however long you're here, to cultivate a vital, living relationship with those people that are around you. I believe Jeremiah's words to the exiles give us an important principle. I'm going to read it. I wrote it down here. I thought it was good. As long as God has you in a particular place, you are to give yourself fully to your spiritual community. I repeat. As long as God has you in a particular place, for example, IBC, okay? You are to give yourself fully to your spiritual community. Now, this is so critical. You know, you need to be encouraged. If you're going to be firm in a foreign context that so often has different priorities and values, you need to be strengthened by those around you. If you don't look for the help of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you will not remain firm. God never intended the Christian life to be one of a lone ranger kind of person. I remember when I was a kid on television in Mexico City, they had, well, didn't call it that in Spanish, but anybody know who the Lone Ranger was? Yeah? Anyway, he was, you know, here on his horse like a cowboy, and he was alone. You know, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, 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 you know, high old silver, the whole thing. Well, that's not the ideal Christian life, right? We like to think that sometimes, but it's not that way. You need the encouragement of others. And another point, others need your encouragement. No matter how long you're here, you have something to give others. You have gifts. You have experience. You have so many things that others need. And I would say, if God brings you here, it's not by chance. You're not at IBC by chance. Oh, I'm here. Well, fine. No, God has you here. And so other believers need you. And it's actually disobedient not to reach out to others. And it's frankly selfish not to reach out to others. When I was in Germany, I lived in Germany with my family in the 90s, and I was doing university student work here in Hamburg and everything. And we went for a time to IBC, because all my kids were born overseas, and we wanted them to have some English, and so we went to the IBC. It was just really small back then. But there was a man who taught the adult men's Bible study group on Sunday afternoon. Now, my experience in Sunday school as a kid was not very exciting, I must admit. I was a wonderful student, but somehow the teachers didn't make it very interesting, yeah. And so I thought, Sunday school, well, okay, we went to Sunday school. And this guy, I remember his last name was Myers. I think his first name was Mr. They called him Mr. Myers, right? And interesting that he just had a gift. This guy was a businessman, only stayed there for about 1 year. I've never had anybody, a better teacher in my life. I've been to seminary, all these things. No, this guy was incredible. He had a heart, and he was a businessman. And I think he made an impact on my life. And I think what a wonderful thing that Mr. Myers was willing to spend that year in Hamburg teaching, right, serving others. Some of you may remember Vinicius. He was a Brazilian, is a Brazilian young man, scientist. He came for 1 year to Hamburg. But I can't believe it was only 1 year because he hit the road running. The very first Sunday he got involved. In fact, by the second Sunday, I think he was playing a saxophone here in the music group. And he did everything he could. Even found a wife. That's about everything you can do, right? Ba-ba-ba-bum, yeah, that's true. In fact, he still gets on. I'll probably hear from him today. He gets on and listens to us the live stream of this session. So, Vinicius, we love you. Wo immer du bist. Yeah. But what an example. He came, he didn't wait around and say, well, I'll wait around and see, get to know, and what's up here. No, he was, boom, he was involved. What a blessing. Oh, I want to tell you something. He'd come to see me from time to time to get my advice on girls. Yeah. It worked. Good advice, yeah. The greatest thing, he'd come late afternoon, he'd always bring me dinner. He was a good man. That's true, he'd bring dinner. So we'd be sitting there talking, and I said, come more often. Yeah. So no matter where you live, you are part of the body of Christ, and you need other members, and other members need you. Now imagine, okay, imagine that you are in the University of Hamburg. You're going to be here for 1 year. Very intensive course, very important course. But you say, I'm going to have to go next year to Munich to study. So I'm not going to go to university. I'm not going to take my classes here. I'll go once in a while and say hello to the students or something. But I'm not going to take it seriously. And you'd say, what's your problem, right? But that's kind of the way Christians are. They come to Hamburg, they come to church, and they think, well, you know, I'm leaving. Why should I be here involved? That's crazy. God's will is that the most important thing, which is your relationship with Christ and with others, be cultivated. You need to walk in step with your fellow believers. That's God's will for your life. And so how do you cultivate a relationship with your fellow believers? Well, I would say the number one thing is, give up the mentality that you're just passing through. Give up the mentality that you're just passing through. From the context, we know that the Jewish exiles had been listening to false prophets, and the false prophets had said, you're just passing through. God is going to bring you back to Jerusalem very soon. And that's why Jeremiah writes and says, no, settle down, get involved. He told them the exact number of years. In that case, we don't know that. You know, a few weeks ago, we said goodbye to Stuart Hayes. Remember that? Stuart Hayes, now, as far as I understand, he came here, he was a scientist at DAISY, and he came here for a short contract. And do you know how many years he stayed? 12 years. We couldn't get rid of him. No, that's not true, yeah. I mean, you don't know. You don't know how long God's going to have you here. Get involved. Use your time. Be a blessing. Reach out to others. Don't be selfish. Obey the Lord. That's God's will for you. So, get involved at IBC. Because it may well be your permanent home. But if it's not, you can still be a great blessing in the meantime. You know, when we moved, we were in Germany. And then the year 2000, we moved to Paradise. Not Paradise, but Costa Rica. Okay, a little paradise. And we went there for 2 years to help our mission with some situations there. And we totally intended to come back to Germany. And we left our house here furnished and the whole thing. And our son was studying law at the university here. So anyway, he kept the house. And so we got there and we thought, well, this is nice, but you know, we just to get by, we got some furniture. You know what wicker furniture is? Is that kind of woven, that stuff, you know, just the stuff you put out of the porch, right? And that was our living room, wicker furniture. You know, not very comfortable, but it's only for a short time. We're passing through. Well, do you know how long our passing through took? 14 years! And they were great years. Now, we bought real furniture after a while, right? But the point is, you know, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. God plants you here. Bloom while you're here, like a flower, roo, right? Don't wait for better days. Do it here. Give yourself here. God has a plan for your life, and it includes being active here, reaching out to your fellow believers, letting them speak to your life as well. This is what God wants to do. So, I think that point is clear. Let's go to one more point we can get from Jeremiah that helps us to remain faithful in a foreign framework. Keep in step with God's plan for this society. Now, what's that? Before that, I need some bubbles. Okay. Now, notice what God intended the Jewish exiles to do in their new environment. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city, it's Babylon, to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Huh. So there are to seek the prosperity. Now, the word seek, the first word, or the second word, seek, is a very active word, a strong word. It means go for it. Give it all you have. Do it, right? Get involved and get this place going. Now, that's interesting, because I'm sure that the Jewish captives were not at all kindly disposed toward the Babylonians. They just destroyed their nation. They'd killed many people. They'd done a terrible thing. And now God says, seek their peace and prosperity. Uh-huh. Well, this was God's will. He had a plan for not only Israel, but also for Babylon. And it would be accomplished in two ways. Okay, this plan of God was going to be accomplished in two ways, by work and by witness. First of all, work. The Jewish captives were to seek Babylon's material prosperity. Look at the verse again. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. They were supposed to focus their minds not on their resentment, not on their frustration, not on their hatred for the Babylonians, but they were supposed to be productive and focus upon doing good. Reminds me of Daniel. Remember Daniel? God used him greatly. Who's somebody else that God used greatly in a foreign country? Joseph. Yeah, you knew that, right? Yeah, of course. They were not focusing upon the evil things that were done to them. They were focusing upon what God wanted them to do, and God used them mightily. And that's what's supposed to be happening here as well. Now, this is for you, dear people. God wants us to be productive and law-abiding citizens of this society. You know, we're not here to get all the benefits that Germany offers and then run off. No. We are to be good citizens. We are to be faithful people in this country. We are to bless this nation. Is it a perfect nation? Of course not. But folks, it's one of the best ones that exists. I love this country. And so we are to be faithful. And people should see us and realize, wow, these are good people. They're not just taking advantage of us, our medical system, or whatever. No, they are being a blessing. They're watching their neighborhoods. They're keeping things clean. They're doing their duty. They're paying their taxes. All of these. Did I step on some toes there? Well, okay, let me do it more then, right? We are to be faithful. That's God's will. We are to, in our work, we are to bless this country. So we are to do it through work, but also, just as the Israelites, through witness. The Jewish captives, okay, were to seek the well-being of their country, but they were to do it in part through prayer, right? It says here, pray to the Lord for it. It is Babylon, okay? They were to pray for Babylon. Now, the Israelites knew that the most important priority was the spiritual aspect. They were to pray that Babylon would understand who God is. I mean, here's this, here are the thousands of Israelites in the nation, in the city. And so they were to be praying for these people. They were to be a witness to the fact that God exists, that God has done wonders, that God is a mighty God. I mean, what a great missionary force, right? If they would only see that and do that. And that's what God wanted them to be carrying out. And this was not a new idea for Israel. Israel was actually called as a missionary nation. It was called as a nation to give forth the good news of God's mercy to the world. And so God is saying, hey, do that here in Babylon. Do that right here where you live. Bloom where you're planted. Yeah, bloom where you're planted. Well, and I'm sure that as they prayed and as they worked and were faithful, that was something that people would notice, just like in our case today as well. Folks, I so desire that we seek the welfare of our society, that we work well and that we witness with our deeds and with our words and with our actions as well. Now, I know that there are many people here who are out there actually doing this. We have, in this church, it's a fascinating church. The only problem is the pastor. Well, there's a new one, so it's getting better. But, But, for example, we have a number of scientists, okay? And I know of stories where they, with their colleagues, they are witnesses. And the colleagues think they're crazy, but they're witnesses, okay? We have so many people. Was that amen to the fact that they're crazy or that they... You know, we have so many people in different places, okay? We're all everywhere, right? We've unterwandert. We've kind of crept into the whole city, right? For example, we have, scientists. We have teachers, a lot of teachers, okay? And where they are, they can also bloom or blossom where they're planted for Jesus. Be good workers and be witnesses. We have public health workers, nurses, doctors. We have IT specialists, quite a few, in fact. And my computer still doesn't work, but they're there. Right? And we have, I don't know, factory workers and all kinds of stuff. We have a lot of students, okay? Great. I have a passion for students. And what a wonderful thing. We have all these people out there. Can you imagine what a force for Jesus Christ? And that's God's plan, that we bloom where we blossom, where we're planted. That we're faithful in this society, blessing the society in every way. And that's why I just desire IBC to grow, to blossom, that our impact for the kingdom of God be greater and greater and greater. Amen? Amen. I think I'm done. Let me just repeat what we just said. We want to be faithful in a foreign framework, so we need to keep in step with God, keep in step with fellow believers, and keep in step with God's plan for this society. And when we do that, we will fulfill Matthew 5:16. Can we go back to the beginning, go to about the third, fourth slide, we can all read it together. Can you go to the beginning of the Heiko, or who is it, Matthias? Okay, Matthew 5:16. Way back. There it is. All right, great. Hey, give him a hand. He did it. Yeah. All right, folks, here it is, okay? This is what God wants us to ultimately do here. Can we read it together? Here we go. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. God bless you.